just have a couple things to say. Fear is something that we all have experienced and perhaps embraced sometimes during our lives. Well, fear is the opposite of trust, so maybe I should have said I'm talking about trust tonight. Trust follows love. The more we love God, the more we trust in Him. Surrender to the divine will follows trust. So you have first holy love, which moves into trust, and then surrender to the divine will. So, in Scripture, Mark chapter 5, it says, "Fear is useless. What is needed is trust." And then again in 1 John chapter 4, "Love has no room for fear. Rather, perfect love casts out all fear. And since fear has to do with punishment, love is not yet perfect in one who is afraid." And then again in Romans chapter 8, "We know that God makes all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His decree." So, I'm using some notes tonight from a friend of mine who used to be in Mother Teresa's order. And unless I otherwise state it, the quotes are directly from Mother Teresa to her novices. "Trust is a conviction that we lack nothing, either within us or outside of us. All is according to the plan of the Father. Trust is to see the hand of the Father everywhere, as Jesus did, even as He went to His passion. He didn't have to wrestle anew with each individual event because He saw therein the hand of the Father. Trust is an attitude of mind and heart that allows God to be Lord of our life. Our trust is not the fact that there won't be any storm. He rescues and brings us through it all and uses it for our good. It requires humility to accept our limitations and our powerlessness in reference to God's plan. Trust is therefore a kind of poverty of spirit, not wanting to know why, not demanding, not setting conditions, but choosing what God has planned for our good. Trust, to be genuine, has to have one quality. It must be unconditional. Trust only works when it's 100%. Trust is always, or it is not real trust. Just as water is always wet, if it is real water. There is no occasional trust. We must have a firm belief that whatever is happening now is the best to lead me into the divine will. Jesus' one great desire in His preaching to the crowds was to instill unshakable, childlike trust in the Father. He tried in every way to increase their trust by parables and exhortations. Okay. These quotes are from Teresa of Avila. Holiness is nothing but faithful cooperation with the work of God. Let nothing disturb you, nothing frighten you. All things pass away. God never changes. Patience obtains all things. He who has God finds he lacks nothing. God alone suffices. This is from Catherine of Siena. Truthfulness will make you humble. Falsehood will make you proud. When you make yourself the object of your desires, such as the I want syndrome, herein lies your own misery. The clearest sign of being clothed in God's will is that one sees in every adversity, or sees even adversity, as being motivated by God's love. Now, this is from St. John of the Cross. This is for people who fear the opinions of others. Pleasing God lies in doing his will without human respect. And this is the same for people who fear others' opinions. A pure soul does not bother about the opinions of others, human respect, but speaks to the God who dwells within her. For the knowledge of God and truth is received only in a silent heart. And this is for people who fear the future and who need to trust in God's provision. The bee that clings to the honey never flies. Don't cling too tightly to pleasures. Be able to live without them as well as with them, without them becoming your master. Okay, I have just a few more. This is still St. John of the Cross. Sadness comes from doing one's own will. It ultimately is a killjoy. It never truly brings joy. This is from De Caussade, who wrote the Catholic classic, Total Trustful Surrender to Divine Providence. The divine will in the present moment is for the soul what food and drink are for the body. Holiness corresponds to the love we have for the will of God and seeking to please him. A holy soul is but a soul freely submitted to the divine will with the help of grace. When God becomes the guide of the soul, he demands with justice that it should confide absolutely in him and be not at all disturbed by the way in which he leads it. If one had the proof that his guidance was right, there would be neither faith nor self-abandonment. Martha tries to please Jesus by her works of love, by good cooking. But Mary is content to please him by receiving him as it pleases him to come to her. For this Mary was praised. What is Lucifer? A brilliant intelligence discontented with God and his order. This is also from the same author. It is the secret method of divine wisdom to impoverish the senses while enriching the heart. The soul of faith, knowing God, remains in peace. All that happens to it, far from frightening it, reassures it. It is so intimately persuaded it is of God's guidance that it takes everything as a grace. I have to find my next page here. This is from St. Francis de Sales. Avoid anxiety and worry, for nothing so impedes our progress in holiness, and Satan knows this too. Do not live in fear, for fear will only activate one's faults. The more absolute one's submission to the will of God in the present moment, the greater the sanctity, the higher the merit for the salvation of souls. This is from Mother Teresa. Whatever did not fit in with my plan did lie within the plan of God. I have an ever deeper and firmer belief that nothing is merely an accident when seen in the light of God, that my whole life, down to the smallest details, has been marked out for me in the plan of divine providence, and has a coherent meaning in God's all-seeing eyes. And so I am beginning to rejoice in the light of glory, wherein this meaning will be unveiled to me. I'm sorry, that's from Blessed Edith Stein. Okay, my last one is from Mother Teresa. From all this, I want you to draw the following conclusions. The first, that very often we think we have lost peace because we are afflicted, and yet we have not lost it at all. We can be sure of this if in spite of our affliction, we continue to renounce ourselves, remain totally dependent on the good pleasure of God, and do not fail to perform whatever duties we have. The second is that we must necessarily suffer interior pain when God tears off the last bit of skin from the old man in order to refashion him after the new man created according to God. It follows that we should not be disturbed about this or think it means that we are in disfavor with our Lord. The third is that no thoughts which cause us disquiet and agitation come from God, who is Prince of Peace. They are rather temptations of the enemy, and therefore we must reject them and take no notice of them. Okay, that's it.